my friends, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, July the 26th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's beauty. My friends, we are going to take a look at the readings for this weekend, the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. However, disclaimer, which I put out last week as well, things, you know, crazy things are happening, and I'm not sure why, and I still haven't gotten to the bottom of it. When I dropped last week's episode for the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time on, you know, Thursday or Friday, I don't remember if I dropped it the 18th or 19th, the episode for the week before finally dropped. So I'm hoping when I drop this one now that last week's are going to drop. And eventually, I got to figure out how, when I drop an episode, the correct one drops. It's a mystery. It's a mystery to me. And I continue to be on the case, but I make no promises as to when this will be solved. So you may be hearing this last weekend's readings on Friday the 26th rather than this one that I'm doing. Oh, pray that this all works itself out. But just know, they're still coming. They just may be coming late. That's kind of what's happening right now. Hey, okay, with that out of the way, here's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at, as usual, the first reading and the gospel. Easy. In fact, they don't get much easier than to see the thread that moves through these readings this weekend. And it's a good thread. So for those who like to follow along and read along with, we're going to read out of 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 to 44. That'll be our first reading. And then with the gospel, we're going to look into, we're going to move into John's gospel. We're going to take a break from Mark's gospel, and I'll speak a little bit about that afterward, but it's going to be John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. So a little bit longer, okay? 2 Kings, John. That's where we're going. So again, my friends, however it is that you prepare yourself to open yourself to receive the word of God well, I invite you to do that at this time. A reading from the book of 2 Kings. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing to Elisha, the man of God, 20 barley loaves made from the first fruits and fresh grain in the ear. Elisha said, "Give it to the people to eat." But his servant objected, "How can I set this before 100 people?" Elisha insisted, "Give it to the people to eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat, and there shall be some left over." And when they had eaten, there was some left over, just as the Lord had said. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, if there was an idea, an image, a phrase, a thought, whatever, something that came and stuck, and hey, just allow the Spirit of God just to work with you on that, okay? As always, God continues to speak. Let God speak. We just need to listen. Let God do God's work. Now, I'm guessing many of you, having heard that, are saying, "I know what the gospel is." And you know what? You'd be right. So let's go ahead and open ourselves to that gospel reading, okay? A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are they for so many? Jesus said, Have the people recline. Now, there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, Jesus said to his disciples, Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted. So they collected them, and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign they had done, they said, This is truly the prophet, the one who is coming into the world. Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So easy to see the thread from the Elisha action to this one. Because Jesus carries the mantle of prophet. We think of him as Savior, and rightly so. But remember, and I think I spoke about this recently, 2-3 weeks ago, that you and I are baptized priest, prophet, and king. And Jesus carries that role of prophet within him. I mean, clearly pointing to the same story and the same action that Elisha was doing. And that whole idea at the end of what we heard in the 2 Kings reading, right? That thus says the Lord, they shall eat, and there shall be left over. There shall be some left over. I mean, that the word of God still continues to ring true. They shall eat, and there shall be some left over. Okay, couple of points I want to make, and then just invite you to ponder where the Spirit is taking you. So, let's go with the first one out of the gospel. Well, let's even talk about the gospel. Why are we reading from John? Well, remember this. Mark is the shortest gospel of all of them. Mark's only 16 chapters long. So if we're going to read out of Mark every weekend in ordinary time, which started, 7-ish, 8-ish weeks ago? 6-ish? In that ballpark, anyway. And is going to go all the way into November. Well, we only got 16 chapters. That's a whole lot to do and to divide up, and they'd have to be awfully small stories or short gospels. And so what we do is we supplement with John's gospel. So year A is Matthew, year B is Mark, year C is Luke. Matthew is 28 chapters long, so plenty in Matthew. Luke's chapter is 24 chapters long, plenty in Luke. But Mark's isn't. And John's gospel, we only get interspersed oftentimes in special seasons, Lent, Easter. Those seasons are when we're going to hear John's gospel. But we hear them sprinkled now in Mark's as well. And we're going to be in John's gospel now for the next 5 weeks. So this was the first of those 5 weeks. And we're going to stay on John chapter 6. Why do we do that? Okay. So with John chapter 6, we hear the miracle of the loaves and fishes, right? The multiplication, the feeding of the 5,000. Save the miracle of the resurrection, this story is the only miracle story that is heard in all 4 gospel accounts. In fact, it's so important that some of the gospels have it twice. He doesn't just feed 5,000, he feeds 4,000, right? So clearly the gospel writers saw this story as foundational to who Jesus was, and told the story in every one of their gospels, all right? So we start with John chapter 6 with this story. Okay, we start, but we don't end there, right? Because the next 4 weeks, what we're going to hear is Jesus doing a lot of teaching and preaching, and it's called his Bread of Life Discourse. Now, there was a throwaway line in the gospel you may have heard, but you didn't really hear it or you didn't think twice about it. So, okay, Jesus goes back across the Sea of Galilee, right? Large crowd follows him. He takes his disciples up on the mountain, and he sits down. And there's one sentence that is 7 words long that is thrown in there. It says, the Jewish feast of Passover was near. And then it goes on to, you know, the large crowd being by him again. Almost like thrown in happenstance. Why would that be there? Recall that in John's gospel, on the feast of Passover, the night before Jesus dies, what we typically call the Last Supper, Jesus mentions nothing about the bread and the wine and Eucharist, quote-unquote, per se. The other three Gospels do. In fact, in John's Gospel, the Passover doesn't take place until Jesus is on the cross or coming down from the cross. Story for another time. But what Jesus, or what the author here, is trying to do is tying chapter 6, not only the feeding of the 5,000 that we heard today, but everything that we're going to hear in the subsequent 4 weeks, where this is John's, or the author of John's gospel, it's their Eucharistic theology. While Matthew, Mark, and Luke give us the story of the Last Supper and the consecration event where Jesus takes the bread, breaks it, says, do this in memory of me. And we don't get that in John's Last Supper. John gives it to us here. And we know that because of that line, because of those 7 words, the feast, the Jewish feast of Passover is near. He links everything that's going to take place in this chapter, and we're going to hear about, to the Passover, to the Last Supper, to the Eucharistic feast that the early Christian community are celebrating. All right? This is going to be a point I come back to the next 4 weeks. So just know, if it doesn't make sense to you now, I hope by the end of the next 4 weeks it will, okay? That's very important for John's community, that what's going on here is Eucharistic. We just held this great Eucharistic Congress, right, within our country. And I don't think it's any coincidence that now we are going to hear about what Eucharist looks like and means for the next 5 weeks. Okay. Now, that said, that wasn't really even one of my points. Okay, gonna have to make the points quick because already we're like practically 15 minutes in here. All right. I want to compare and contrast the two disciples with Jesus' action here. All right, the disciples are sitting around Jesus. The large crowd comes to him. Jesus is concerned about the well-being of the people. And he looks at Philip and says, hey, where can we buy enough food for them to eat? And Philip says, essentially, that's impossible. 200 days' wages worth of food would hardly be enough even to give them a morsel. Not enough even to satisfy them. What you're asking is out of the realm of possibility. Can't happen. But then Andrew comes forward and says, hey, there's this kid who's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I don't even know why I'm telling you this, because what's that going to do here? But I thought you might want to know, because maybe it could help. Do you see the difference between the two? Philip is saying, there's no way out of this situation. They're going to go away hungry. There's nothing we can do. And Andrew's saying, I have no idea what you can do with this. Doesn't make a lick of sense to me. But here's this possibility. And he opens up the door, not wide open, barely a crack. Do you see that difference? One Jesus can work with. One Jesus can't. Brothers and sisters, our world today seems beyond hope. If we are going to be followers of Jesus, do we look at the world and say, it is indeed beyond hope, Lord. Take it back. I don't know what's going to happen. This is awful. Or are we? So are we like Philip? Or are we like Andrew that says, Lord, I have no idea how you can rework what we are experiencing and what we are seeing and what people are going through in this world, but I know you can. I don't know how. And I know I'll do something. I'll give you whatever loaves and fish I got, whatever minuscule effort, whatever minuscule idea, whatever minuscule thought, whatever minuscule amount of money, whatever minuscule amount of presence or life or love or goodness that I can give, but I can do it. And I hope to you that you can do something with that to make this better. I don't know what's going on in your individual lives, in your individual relationships. Do you know what? But I guess the question that is before us is, are we Philip or are we Andrew? Do we approach whatever is happening within our lives, within the world, within our communities, whatever it is, with hope? Even a minuscule, a mustard seed worth amount? Or do we approach it that says, this is an impossibility because one God can work with and one God cannot. And if we are going to be people of hope, if we are going to be people of the Word, if we are going to be followers of Jesus Christ, I know which one he invites us into. Because it is in those times where we have doubt, and doubt is not a bad thing, by the way, it is in those times where we have doubt that we can see the Word of God, we can see the action of God, the Spirit of God make something new, and we can fall deeper in love and fall deeper within to our faith and allow that to grow. Okay? The second point and the last point I'll make is God desires for you and I to be fed. His heart is moved, right? The heart of Elisha was moved. The heart of Jesus was moved. So a little background with 2 Kings, Elisha, it was a time of famine. And the 20 barley loaves that were being brought to him were first fruits that were brought to the altar of God. And only God could get those. But Elisha thought, you know what? The people need these more than God. And the servant's like, what are you doing? These are for God. And Elisha said, give the people something to eat. He says it twice, right? It's really beautiful. Give it to the people to eat. The servant's kicking back and says, but you know, that's not enough. How can this be set before 100 people? It's only 20 loaves, you know? And he says, give it to the people to eat. Again, he's got that doubt. But sometimes we think we get to reserve something for God. And Elisha was smart enough to know, you know what? God would be more pleased in setting this on his altar to have the people who are in need be fed. Our God desires that you and I are fed and made full. And do you think it's any, at least I don't, I don't mean to be patronizing in the question, but I don't think it is any coincidence that after the people are fed and they collect all the fragments because they don't want any to be wasted, that there are 12 wicker baskets, right? Filled. How many disciples were there? Or apostles? I think those are the ones we're talking about here. Well, there are 12, meaning each one has their own wicker basket with which to feed the people. Brothers and sisters, I don't know where you are. I don't know when you are listening to this, but I do know this. You've got a wicker basket, and you've got bread to feed. Just like Elisha says to the servant, give it to the people to eat. I think that's what Jesus is saying to you and I right now. We may not trust that this is going to go very far, but that's the work of God. It is not your work and it is not my work. Our work is simply to take the basket that is filled, that we have been given, to give it to the people to eat. God desires them to be fed. And I don't know what it is that you have to feed them with or what I have to feed, but God does. And I know that you've got what it takes, as well as I, to feed the people. We simply need to be more like Andrew to say, this doesn't make sense to me. And less like Philip that says, I'm not going to do it because that's going to go nowhere. We are called to be Andrew and to take our wicker basket and to do exactly what Elisha said, to give it to the people to eat. Let's pray. We continue through the luminous mysteries. And we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The third luminous mystery, the proclamation of the gospel. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, I do not know when you will be hearing this, but when you do, may it be bread to you and feed you well. Thanks for being with me. Be well, and God's peace.